A couple of decisions coming this week could impact investigations into potential war crimes in Afghanistan and whether Russian athletes will be able to compete under their country's flag. Those are among the key international stories in the coming days, and with me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Audrey Tinlin. And Audrey, let's start with something happening in the UK. President Trump will be arriving there later today for a NATO gathering. It'll celebrate 70 years of the military alliance. Is he likely to get a friendly reception from NATO's European leaders?
Well, there's a bit of a mixed picture here. President Trump and the other NATO leaders arrive here in the UK at a very busy time for this country. We're entering the last 2 weeks before our general election. The president and the other heads of NATO countries will have a reception with the Queen at Buckingham Palace during the visit. But even though this short summit marks the 70th anniversary celebration of NATO, there are quite a few strains in the alliance. In fact, NATO is actually being quite low-key about this gathering in the UK. It's not giving it the label of a summit, and it's not planning to release the traditional lengthy communique full of conclusions and future plans at the end of the meeting. France's President Emmanuel Macron has caused quite a bit of a sensation last month when he was reported as saying that NATO is literally brain dead. He repeated some of those criticisms again at the end of last week at a press conference in Paris. He was alongside the NATO Secretary General there. And he said NATO needs to reassess its purpose. So some of the comments were taken to be aimed at the United States when President Macron said he disagreed with those who identified Russia or China as enemies. He said the joint enemy was clearly terrorism. Our BBC defence correspondent Jonathan Marcus is a veteran of many of these NATO summits and gatherings in different parts of the world. And I asked him how the alliance is holding together after 70 years.
Most NATO governments are strong supporters of the alliance. They believe that it should continue. They believe that that transatlantic tie is important. The difficulty is, of course, that as the alliance gets so much bigger, it's now 29, soon will be 30 members, it becomes less agile, less able to make decisions quickly and so on. And you also have, I think, a problem of very different perceptions in different parts of the alliance.
And that's the BBC's Jonathan Marcus pointing out there some of the strains and the stresses that NATO is currently dealing with. And President Trump's expected to land in the UK later today.
All right. So also this week, there's a decision coming from the International Criminal Court in the Netherlands about whether the court should go ahead and investigate war crimes committed in Afghanistan. What is the background with that case?
Well, this is a case that pits the United States administration against the ICC. The International Criminal Court is based in The Hague in the Netherlands, and the United States is not a member of the ICC, and it said it won't join. The US government position is currently that the ICC is a threat to US sovereignty. So what's happening this week at the court? Well, I'll tell you about that in a moment, but first, a tiny bit of history. Back in April this year, judges at the ICC decided not to investigate alleged US war crimes or those of other states in Afghanistan. Amongst the reasons the judges gave for their decision then was that there was a low chance of a successful investigation and prosecution, as they put it. But since then, human rights groups have appealed that decision, and that's what the judges will be considering this coming Wednesday. So the question is, will we see the court change its mind? And so will we see the ICC, this big, important international court, adjudicating on claims of war crimes in Afghanistan? And this is a subject that touches a raw nerve in the White House. Earlier this year, the Trump administration revoked the ICC prosecutor Fatou Bensouda's entry visa to the United States, and it was taking up there one of several threats the administration had previously made against court officials, and those threats were prompted by potential ICC investigations in Afghanistan of US military and Central Intelligence Agency personnel.
All right, so from that decision to another pending decision, Russia's athletes are waiting to hear whether they'll be allowed to compete under their country's flag at the Tokyo Olympics next year. Why are Russian athletes facing this potential ban?
Well, it's all about doping. And Russia has this week to convince the World Anti-Doping Agency, known as WADA, that its athletes should not be banned from all major sporting competitions for the next 4 years. And that would include the Tokyo Olympics in summer next year. WADA decided formally a couple of weeks ago that Russia should be barred from these international competitions. It says Moscow has been falsifying laboratory data that it's already handed over to investigators who are looking into doping allegations. And these have plagued Russia for years. It all goes back to 2015, when a report commissioned by WADA into doping allegations alleged there was widespread corruption and what amounted to state-sponsored doping in Russian track and field athletics. Russia says this is all politically motivated. The Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said last week he believed the ban was part of a wider global campaign to undermine the country. Well, my colleague Elisaveta Focht at the BBC's Moscow Bureau says Russia is concerned about how all of this reflects on its national image.
Many people believe that Russia does not really care about its public image, but that's definitely not true, because Russian officials and ordinary Russians, of course, they do care about Russia's public image, about Russian representation in the world, and having their athlete marching under a neutral flag doesn't show very nice image of Russia.
And that's the BBC's Elisaveta Focht, and that's the view from Moscow.
So, Audrey, what happens next?
Well, WADA's executive committee has just this week to consider the recommendations, and it will make its final decision at a meeting in Paris on December 9th. That's Monday next week. If WADA goes ahead with the ban, then Russia could immediately be banned from all international sporting events for the next 4 years. And the anti-doping body could also recommend stripping Russia of sports events already awarded to the country.
All right, that is the BBC's Audrey Tinlin. Audrey, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.